Tonight I want to stay in the same vein with Apostle and reiterate some things he's been saying, and also encourage us to begin to develop in our sonship. Tonight I want to talk to you about how to deny yourself. How to deny yourself. Now, denying yourself, we have taken it, most times we reread the Bible or we read the Word of God, we read it from a viewpoint of how can it help us personally. And so when we begin to read the Bible from that standpoint, sometimes we read certain scriptures and we apply it only to us, when the scripture really was meaning to be applied to others. I'm going to get to what I mean by that in a few moments. So I said that to say this. Denying yourself don't mean that you're taking away pleasure. See, some people think that when you deny yourself, you take away pleasure. It's not talking about taking away pleasure or making yourself struggle. Or making yourself, or beating yourself down. Denying yourself. I'm denying myself. I say this because we're in what we call Lent season. And we have a lot of people that have given up stuff. They're denying themselves. Now, I'm not making fun of them, but it's just showing you that they're denying. They think that's denying themselves. But really, that type of denying yourself is still self-centric. And so tonight we're going to read the scripture in Luke, the 9th chapter, and we're going to read two different accounts of it where Jesus begins to talk about denying yourself. And we're going to really discover what he meant, because you cannot deny yourself unless the cross is involved. Because you got to remember, he said, take up your cross daily. All right, let's read it. Luke. The 9th chapter. Luke, the 9th chapter, and the 23rd verse. And he said to them all, talking to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. This is Jesus talking to the disciples and said, if any man is going to follow me, other words, if you're going to become a disciple, you're going to have to deny yourself. Take up your cross how often?
Daily.
And do what? Follow him. So we get the denying part. We get the denying part, and we're good at that. You know, we're good at self-righteousness. You know, we'll deny ourselves things and what's not. But Jesus said, deny yourself and take up the cross. So it can't be just me giving up something of pleasure. It has to be something to do with the cross. So, Holy Spirit, help me. So just me trying to, on my own, deny myself is not the total answer. Because I have to deny myself and take up the cross. So taking up the cross has something to do with me denying myself. Because the two go together. Deny yourself and take up the cross. Are you seeing this? Go over to 1 John, the 4th chapter. We will come back to Luke, the 9th chapter. Talking about developing in sonship. Talking about, well, possibly developing in our sonship. Jesus said, we just read it, if any man will come after me, if he's going to become one of my disciples, if you're going to follow me, you have to deny yourself and take up the cross How often? Daily, right? 1 John. 4th chapter. Verse 10, verse 7, verse 6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. The love of God was manifested how? Through him sending his Son, so that we won't have to live in sin, right? Verse 10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Now, this scripture is very strange in the midst of all this. Verse 12, he says, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. So why would God be talking about love, how we ought to love one another? Then in the midst of all that talking about love, he said, no man has seen God at any time. Then he goes on to say, if no man have seen God at any time, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us. So if no man had not seen God at any time, then if man is going to see God, it's going to have to be through us. Now, if God is going to be seen through us, that means anything in his way has to be gotten out of the way.
Right.
So when we are living through our daily lives, people can't see a dual personality. They're supposed to see one. So if I am not denying myself and taking up my cross daily, they're going to see two people.
Right.
I'm going to be talking about Christ, but they're going to see me.
Right.
Are you seeing this? So here God is saying, no man has seen God at any time. Then he starts talking about if we walk in love, people will see God in us. All right, verse 13. Hereby we know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his spirit. All right. And we have seen, and watch this, and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. So how people are going to see God in us is because we testify that Jesus came to save our souls. Are you seeing this? Verse 15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. Verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath toward us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Right? Verse 17, watch this now. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. So what John is saying here is when we get to the day of judgment, we'll be able to walk boldly into the throne room of God because we have been already acting like God. How have we already been acting like God? Because we have been denying ourselves and taking up the cross daily. So by the time I get to heaven, I can say it like this. When I walk into heaven, I can walk with my head high, knowing that I've done what God has called me to do. Because, watch this, he said, if I love him, I'm going to testify. And the only way I can testify is if I am like him. If I am like him, that means I've gotten out of me everything that contradicts him. Are you seeing this? Herein is our love matured. It's matured when we become, watch this, followers of Christ, losing ourselves in him. Not losing ourselves in him, in here. Losing ourselves in him when none of our fellow church members are around and we're around a bunch of heathens. See, a true disciple will follow to the end, even if everybody else turns around. That means you are fully convinced, fully experienced with what has happened to you. See, the reason why nobody can't tell me that Jesus is not alive is because I have experienced it for myself. See, once you've experienced it for yourself, nobody else can come and tell you anything. I don't care if they come up with signs to prove stuff, because somebody some morning touched me on my shoulder and said, I'm with you. That's experience. See, when you become a true disciple of Christ, that means you begin to have experiences with him, which means he now can help you deny and take up your cross daily. Now watch what it says here in this fourth chapter. He said, verse 14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. We have seen and do testify. We have seen and do testify. What we have seen? We have seen the effect that Jesus has had on our lives. And because of the effect that we had, now some of y'all have really seen some stuff. How I know you've seen some stuff? Because you knew how you was before you got born again. So there must be a Jesus. Knowing all I used to do, but Jesus come and clean all that up, and what I used to want to do, I don't want to do no more. So there got to be a Jesus somewhere, somehow. So because I've seen, that word seen is another way to say I've experienced. I've experienced, and because I have experienced, I now, watch this, listen. I now become an authority to testify that he is alive. See, you don't have to be deep, philosophical. You don't have to be super religious. Look, if you've had an experience with Jesus, you are now an authority to say that Jesus is alive. How I know Jesus is alive? Because he's alive in me. So I have to become a witness. I'm witnessing that Jesus did come. Everything the Bible said is true. He did come to become a Savior. Why? I know. Because he's my Savior. I've seen some things. I've seen some things happen in my life to let me know that Jesus is alive, because he's alive in me. Luke 9. Go back to Luke 9. See, you don't have, see, this is why people who get born again catch on fire. I don't know if you ever noticed, people get born again, they get excited, and they go to telling people, I got born again. Do you know Jesus? You need to know Jesus. Because why? They don't know too much about the Bible. They don't know too much about the scripture. They might not even remember Romans 10, 8, 9, 10. But all they know is they've had an experience. And they want everybody around them to have their experience. They immediately became an authority on Jesus being alive. Why? Because they experienced it for themselves. Are you seeing this? Luke, the ninth chapter. Let's go back there. See, it's only when we get into the church and we get around religious people when we lose our authority. Because now the focus shifts off of Jesus and him being crucified to how I can get my stuff. And so we forget about the authority, us being authority and having experience that Jesus is alive. Are you seeing this? Luke, the ninth chapter, and the 23rd verse. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, Jesus, now mind you now, at this particular moment, Jesus had not gone to the cross yet, obviously. So here it is, Jesus is talking to the disciples about taking up their cross daily. He hadn't gone to the cross yet, but he told the disciples, take your cross up daily. So how can I take up my cross? Just looking from the disciples' standpoint, how can the disciples take up their cross daily and Jesus had not gone to the cross yet? How could they have done that? Jesus was actually giving them an analogy because you watch this. The cross during the days of Jesus, during the Roman Empire, was a common form of punishment. It was a common form of execution. If you wanted to have a long and drawn out execution, we weren't going to the guillotine. We was going to the cross. Why? Because on the cross, we're going to nail your behind to this cross. We're going to put these nails and these spikes in your hand. Not nails, these spikes in your hand. And we're going to let you hang there for a while because we're going to make you suffer. Right? So here it is. Jesus is telling them, take up your cross daily. Jesus had not been to the cross. Now we're going to go to it. Now I'm starting to understand why Peter denied him three times. Peter remember this conversation. Peter remember this conversation. Peter say, wait a minute. He said, take up your cross daily. Man, if this is what Jesus is talking about, I ain't got nothing to do with this. When Jesus was telling them to take up the cross daily, what Jesus was telling them is that on a daily basis, you're going to have to be willing to kill yourself in front of other people. Wow. How do I kill myself in front of other people? The way you kill yourself, see, because first of all, you got to deny yourself. You can't be so much in love with yourself that you're not willing to kill yourself. How do I kill myself in front of other people? The moment you decide that this is the person that God has crossed my pathway, that I'm supposed to find out if they're going to heaven or hell, the moment you open your mouth and mention the name of Jesus, you have just nailed yourself to the cross. You have just nailed yourself to the cross. How am I nailing myself to the cross? Because when you mention the name of Jesus, attitudes change. Atmospheres change. Demons start to get nervous. Hatred begin to arise. The moment you say it, the conversation changes. How people look at you change. How people begin to treat you change. So if you're concerned about all of that changing, then you won't deny yourself and you won't take up your cross daily. That's the one of the main reasons why we don't witness. Because what I mean by killing ourselves, at the moment you mention the name of Jesus, that person no longer sees you. They no longer see you. They're starting to see Jesus, and I have to make a decision with my life. So now if I'm going to follow Christ, then I have to make a decision that I'm willing to deny myself. See, that's what it meant to deny yourself. It's not about denying yourself a pleasure. How am I going to deny myself a pleasure, and it's God's good pleasure to give me? How is it denying myself a pleasure and having fun in this life when Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it? That seems like a contradiction. If denying myself meant I have to sacrifice, I have to give up something and take up my cross daily and crucify myself and just beat myself down. That can't be what it's talking about. But because of our self-centric view of the gospel, when we read that about denying ourselves, take up our cross, we thought it was all about us. I got to do something to get closer to God. I got to give up something to get closer to him. When it's really just saying that you can't be in love with yourself so much that you're not willing to lose your identity. That's what it means to deny yourself and take up your cross. How often?
Daily.
Daily. That means on a daily basis, I have to be ready to lose my identity. I have to be ready to, Holy Spirit, help me say, I'm going to have to be ready to jack up some relationships. We were talking good and we were eating lunch good and we had good conversation. But the moment I mentioned Jesus, everything got tight. So I'm afraid that if I minister this Tuesday, I'm afraid that I won't be able to eat lunch with you on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday because you're going to now look at me like I'm funny. I don't want that, so I'm not going to deny myself. See, talking about growing up in sonship, I have to deny myself. Deny myself means I don't love myself enough that I'm willing to let this person go to hell. Because once again, watch this, once again now, we back to a self-centric view of the gospel. See, if I'm willing to not take the risk of my relationship changing because I want everything to be the same, I'm enjoying eating lunch with this person, or I'm enjoying having this conversation with this person, or I'm enjoying going places with this particular person, or I'm enjoying how the atmosphere is. I'm enjoying how the atmosphere is in my office. Because they know I'm a Christian, but I ain't really, they just know I go to church. I really don't know if anybody in my office is born again. I mean, I become familiar with them, so I just assume, I don't know. Even though the Holy Spirit has prompted me a couple of times, but I don't want my office to change. But yet God put me in that office. Yet God gave me that job. I hope I'm challenging you. The Holy Spirit spoke to me about 3 weeks ago, and when Apostle began to deal with this, and he said, I want you to get up this morning, and I want you to lay out what you're going to do today. So I usually do that. I get up in the morning, I think about all the things I got to do today, things I got to get accomplished, tasks I got to get done, places I got to go, people I need to call, different things of nature. And the Holy Spirit said, now I want you to take the kingdom of God and put in the front of your task. And watch this. And smear the kingdom over all your daily agenda. I said, Holy Spirit, what you mean smear the kingdom over my daily agenda? He said, I want you to not think about you have to do those things because you got to get them done. You have to do those things because I'm placing you there for a reason. So I need your heart and your attention to be up, because you're going to be crossing people's pathway, and I want you to be alert that this may be a kingdom moment that I think was a task moment. See, I go through the day thinking, I got to get this done. I got this. I got my job say I got to do this. My job say I got to do that. And I need to get this done. I got to take care of this, but I got to have this meeting. But the King, God, the Holy Spirit say, now smear the kingdom over all of that, because I want you now to be alert that that meeting might be only for you to get into somebody's presence.
Wow.
So now this changes the game. Because now, if I smear the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, over my daily agenda, I'm no longer going throughout my day just trying to get stuff done. That means now I'm going through the day looking for where Jesus is throughout the day. Whose hand is Jesus, whose shoulder is Jesus placing his hand on today? Now, mind you now, everybody who put their hand on your shoulder, you might not want it on their shoulder, so you do like this. You're going to get some of this. Jesus' hand going to be knocked off sometime. That's not up to you. That's not your decision. That's not for you to get offended about. See, if I deny myself, you can't offend me. Funny story. Layla plays softball, and as parents, we always talking with other parents and what's not. And they got one player on the team that she's a great ball player, and she hit the ball and got into a double play. Previously, there was another young girl that was just. On other teams, she was tall, and man, she was hit the ball, and she struck out. She was rounding them bases. I mean, she would pick him up, put him down, stretching. I mean, just gone. And one of the parents looked at another parent and said, "Man, your daughter can do the same thing," because her daughter can do the same thing. Another parent took it wrong, was a little bit offended about it, and say, "Well, we're gonna get your daughter to teach her how to do it." Now, the girl she was talking about was slow, so she was really trying to make a wise crack. So I was talking to the father about it. I was like, "Man, don't sweat that," because they did apologize, got over all that and all that kind of good stuff. He said, and this is what he said. He said, "I mean, I don't know if she thought she was hurting my feelings by telling me my daughter was slow. I already knew she was slow." And this was his words exactly. He said, "When she hit the ball, I looked at Coach Brad and said, 'Hell, she gonna get in a double play.'" he couldn't be offended. Couldn't be offended. See, if I deny myself, I can't be offended. See, if I deny myself, it doesn't really matter if the person get upset with me or not. It really don't matter to me if you don't eat lunch with me no more. That's cool. Because I've denied myself. I was willing to jumble up some stuff just so that Christ can be presented. See, we don't realize that when Jesus came to the earth, Jesus came to the earth stirring up stuff. I mean, Jesus came to the earth, got King Herod looking for him. Jesus ain't done nothing. Got King Herod looking for him. I mean, he just comes stirring things up. So it's just in his nature to stir things up. What stirring things up does? It calls people to reevaluate. It calls people to begin to think about, "Oh, wait a minute, he ain't my Savior. I've done some bad things, but he ain't my Savior. You mean somebody gonna forgive me for all this stuff I've done?" Now watch this. There's going to be, see, because here's what I know about God. God don't lose. All right, God doesn't lose. He never fails. God is the epitome of success. So in his infinite wisdom, in him knowing everything, God did not send his son Jesus on the earth to get a losing batting record. What I mean by that, those of you who don't understand what a batting record is, or batting, it's the number, the little small numbers you see in front of a, when a player getting ready to bat in baseball, they have some numbers, 336, 275. They're just saying out of 100 bats, they hit the ball 27 times. That player batting 270. Or you might have a player that's batting 333. So every three times he or she gets up to bat, they hit the ball one time. That's almost 33%. So they have a batting average, their batting record. So God did not send his son Jesus to have a low batting average. So what I'm trying to tell you, you're going to have more success witnessing than you're going to have more people that say yes than say no. You're going to have more people accept Christ than those that tell you no, they don't want him. But see, the thing about it is, there are some players that have a zero batting average. In the major league, they have a zero batting average. Either because they pitch in or they don't never get up to the plate and they never able to swing the bat. You don't want a zero batting average. So in order for you not to have a zero batting average, you got to take more swings. If a batter has a zero batting average, I promise you, if he or she keep batting in a baseball game, eventually they're going to hit something. But see, the reason why you may have a zero batting average is because you hadn't denied yourself. Meaning, I'm not willing to lose face. I'm not willing to look like Jesus. Because when I deny myself, I begin to look more like him. When I look more like him, I might get started being treated like him. I don't want that to happen. I like my relationships. I like my comfortable. I like my everything just cool, just calm. We ain't stirring nothing up. You would be surprised at how the Holy Spirit helps you do his job. Notice what I said now. Notice I say the Holy Spirit will help you do his job. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So it's not so much of us being seen, but it's Christ being seen. Are you seeing this? So denying myself simply means that I'm not willing to keep status quo. I'm not willing to keep what's happening now in my life. I'm not willing to keep everything calm because that's the way I want it. If the Holy Spirit opens the door for me, I'm willing to deny myself and nail myself to the cross so that people will see Jesus and not me. Are you seeing this? That's why Peter, when Jesus was on the cross and they hung him, and man, they started associating Peter with Jesus. Say, wasn't you the one hanging with Jesus? Ain't you one of his disciples? Popped up in Peter's head was, take up your cross daily. People like, these people going to do me the same thing. So Peter started saying, no, I don't know him. Bible said Peter started cussing. I don't know him. No, I don't know him. So now we understand why Jesus went looking for Peter when he got up. Matter of fact, the first one he went looking for. He went specifically looking for Peter. Why? Because he wanted to get Peter to understand, I ain't talking about no physical cross that you're going to have to die on. You're going to have to die on that cross of ego. You're going to die on that cross of commonality. You're going to die on that cross of wanting what you want. See, the question, look, verse 24. And I'm almost finished. For whosoever will save his life shall what?
Lose it.
But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man's advantage if he gains the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? Verse 26. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's, and of the holy angels. Wait a minute now. We've seen the 26th chapter. We've seen the 26th verse before. We've seen this before. It wasn't quite said the same, but we've seen this before. Go back to 1 John, the 4th chapter. Verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. That we may have boldness in what? That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. That's when Jesus returned. So according to 1 John 4, my love is perfected so that I may have boldness in the day of judgment. That means my love for God is matured when I make up my mind that I'm willing to deny myself and become a witness and testify of what I have seen. Because in Luke, the 9th chapter, Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you. When I come in my glory and in my Father's glory and with the angels, I'm going to be ashamed of you. So here it is. It's saying, when I deny myself and take up my cross, every time. See, this is why it's so. This is why the atmosphere becomes uncomfortable. It even becomes sometimes uncomfortable for you when you start mentioning the name of Jesus and ask a person, "Are you born again?" It gets awkward. It gets awkward. It gets the atmosphere change. It gets awkward. And then the other person, you start crawfishing. Or they tell you, I go to this church. Or I go to that church. Or I'm this. Or I'm that. And I've been in church all my life. It gets awkward. Or then you might meet up with somebody and say, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in all that. It may get awkward. And your relationship may change. The moment you mention the name of Jesus, this is what you're doing. The moment you mention the name of Jesus, you have just taken this hand, taken that stake, and drove the stake in that hand. You've just given the hammer to that person that you're talking to. They get a stake and drive it in this hand. And now you're crucified. Wow. So now they're not seeing you no more. Wow. They're seeing Christ. Yeah. And so now it's awkward. But you have to press through that, because on the other side of the awkwardness is that person's soul. Jesus knew this. Jesus said, that's why you must deny yourself. Because if you love yourself that much, then you ain't about to crucify yourself. You ain't about to lose your identity. Are you seeing? You see what I'm saying? So denying myself is not a matter of me giving up something, per se, material things or food or this. It means I'm going to have to really deny my whole personality. I'm going to have to deny who this person, really what I'm doing is I'm killing a person that person knows. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for that one. I'm killing a person that person knows, and I'm now showing them who they really need to know. So now, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So when I smear the kingdom over my daily agenda, I may have to have this particular meeting, or I may have to go to this particular office, or I need to meet with this person tomorrow, or I have to make these phone calls tomorrow, or whatever it may be. When you take the kingdom and overlay the kingdom on your agenda and tell God, I'm open, I promise you he's going to put somebody across your path. But putting somebody across your path ain't good enough, because you're going to have to be willing to deny yourself. When you get that nudge in your back and say, oh, that's them. You get that tug in your heart and say, I need to say something right now. You got to reach out. Am I going to poke out? Am I going to poke out right now? Do I love myself really that much? I mean, am I going to deny? Because see, either you're doing one or the other. Either you're denying yourself, or you're denying Christ. Oh, he's your savior. I know that. He's your savior, but you're done. What? Again, a self-centric view of the gospel. I ain't denying Christ. I love him with all my heart. I'm not talking about you denying him. I'm talking about you are denying Christ a chance to get to this person. Do I love myself this much that I'm going to deny Christ, who I say is my Savior? Let me rephrase it. Who is my Lord and Savior? Who is the ruler of my life? Who has saved me from going to hell? Who has put me in these positions that I've been praying for? Who have healed my body when nobody else would do anything for me? Who helped me out of situations when everybody else turned their back on me? Am I going to deny him now from having an opportunity to get to this person's heart? Because I want to have status quo. Because I want to make this sale. Because I need to get this business proposition over. Or because I need this or I need that. I don't want to mess this relationship up. Didn't Jesus just say to us that whoever try to keep his life shall lose it? And whoever loses life for my sake shall gain it. So could it be that sometimes I may be on a transaction that may cost, may bring income to me, but if Jesus tug on me, maybe, if I decide to go deny myself, I might lose this sale because it becomes awkward. But here it is, I get back to my office and I got 15 other people waiting to buy it from me. If I'm not mistaken, that's called sowing and reaping. Jesus was saying we have to deny ourselves, meaning we have to hang the person on the cross who they are seeing. Hang them on the cross. Hang them on the cross. Hang that person on the cross so that Christ can be seen. Take up that cross daily. Meaning every day I'm willing to nail, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ, what? Who liveth in me. So by me crucifying myself, me losing my identity, that means they no longer see me. They're seeing Christ. Now, once they see Christ, now it's up to them to make the decision of do they want him or not. See, it's not my decision to force Christ on them. It's just my decision that I'm going to deny myself and give them a chance to see Christ. Because watch this. No man has seen God until they've seen me crucify myself. Nobody has seen God till I crucify myself. Are you seeing this? See, now watch this. When you begin, the culture's changing in this church. The culture's changing because, why is it changing? It's changing because the Holy Spirit has directed apostles to change it. So as the culture changes, how we see ourselves is changing. See, I'm now willing to deny myself, to give up who I am. Give up who I look like to that person. They gonna see me different. Oh yeah, When we go play ball, Layla, they got a, some of them have a different look at me. I really don't care. They just different. Say, oh, he that Jesus person. Hey, Jesus done a lot for me. So yes, I am a Jesus person. I am not ashamed of the gospel. But that's okay, because there's going to be a time when you're going to need this Jesus person to crucify himself. So now when you come back around again, I ain't got no problems crucifying myself, because I done crucified myself already. Because I want them to see Jesus. I want them to see him. I want them to see who he is. But if I don't, right here, if I don't deny myself and take up my cross daily, that means Jesus, the Holy Spirit pictured it to me and everything. Jesus had that cross on his back, going to Calvary. You got to have the cross on your back. When the Holy Spirit tug on your heart, you just take that cross off your back, stand it up, and nail yourself to it. You got the cross with you. You take the cross with you. Take it with you. How you take the cross with you? My mind is made up. That Holy Spirit, as soon as you give me the signal, I'm going to take this cross and stand it up and crucify myself. That's the cross. Your mind made up that you're willing to deny yourself. Because as soon as the Holy Spirit tug on your heart, give you that nudge, the Holy Spirit is standing that cross up. Right behind, standing up, bam. Lord, I don't want them to see me. I want them to see you. Lift your hand and read the offering envelope. The ushers are in the aisle to serve you. Denying yourself. I don't love myself that much. Thank you, sir. Oh, you're going to have an opportunity tomorrow. I promise you. Oh, I promise you. Watch this now. Watch how tricky the enemy is. Watch how tricky the enemy is. See, the enemy plays games with your mind. See, the enemy believes in sacrificing people. He'll give up a few to get what he wants. See, I promise you. Satan is going to try you tomorrow to see. Listen to me now. Satan is what I mean by that. Satan will send somebody to you with the nastiest attitude sometimes just to see if you're going to punk out. Because if he can get you to punk out that one time, he know he got you locked. But he take the chance, because that person, the Holy Spirit, is going to be there with you to help you and get that person born again. So, but the Satan is willing to try that one person just so he can stop you witnessing to the hundreds other that God gonna send your way. Amen. Oh yes, you will be tried tomorrow. If you need to get some tracks tonight, find them. If you don't know what to say, get Romans 10, 8, 9, and 10. Put it in your phone. Bookmark it in your phone so you can get to it quick. Text it to yourself. Do whatever you got to do. Be ready. Because I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is going to help you. But the only thing the Holy Spirit is not going to help you, he's not going to help you deny yourself. Because if God made us deny ourselves, that means we're no longer in control. And that means that we no longer can love him because he's forcing us to do it. You're going to have your opportunity tomorrow. Sometimes you swing and you miss. Sometimes you swing and you miss. But when you swing. See, I don't know if anybody ever played baseball before. It's just something that, where you hit the sweet part of that bat. It's just something about when you hit the sweet part of that bat. Who ever played baseball and just one time, somebody pitched it to him, it was slow motion. And you just boom! That's going to happen. And you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to be so excited. You're going to be telling everybody about your experience. Look, I talked to somebody today. This is what happened. This happened, this happened, this happened. And they accept Jesus Christ, they Savior. Oh, I'm going to do this again. Then all of a sudden, what you're going to start finding happening in your life is that things that was tangled up in your life, things that was in confusion in your life, things that you've been praying about that wasn't shaking loose, going to start being untangled, going to start having peace, and things are going to start shaking loose. Why? Because now God is handling those things. When you witness for him, you open the door for God to come in the earth realm and do things for you. Amen. See, it's not that he don't want to do it, but there's a law. God is not mocked. Galatians 6 and 7, God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So if I begin to sow life, that's how I get abundant life. Because I begin to sow life. What? Sow Jesus to other people. Yeah. Stand to your feet. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to sow into your kingdom. Thank you for your principle of seed, time, and harvest. Father, thank you for giving us the privilege not only to be a part of your financial system, but being a part of your life system, giving us a chance to bring people to Christ, to minister Christ to people, those that need healing, those that need deliverance, giving us the opportunity to do so, Father. Father, put words in our mouths that nobody will be able to resist as we minister for you. We give you glory and honor. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The ushers are going to serve you.